today we are joined with Major Dave Tesmer of the U.S. Air Force.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, welcome. Actually, I'm with the Wisconsin Air National Guard.
Oh, Air National Guard. I'm sorry. Yep. Your uniform says U.S. Air Force.
It's, you bet.
Excuse me a little bit.
Nope. Same uniform, same training, just a little different branch there, if you will.
Okay. And where are you based out of?
We are out of Volk Field, which is about two-hour drive west of here in Oshkosh, central Wisconsin. And we are a combat readiness training center. And at Volk Field, what that means, what a CRTC is all about, is training. So we provide the airfield, we provide airspace, various ranges. And not only for Air National Guard, but also active duty components, active Air Force, Marines, basically whoever needs to come out and get some good training, they can come to Volk Field.
Okay. And today you're representing you're the chair for the International Federal Partnership.
Yep.
And you're at the Federal Pavilion this year. And what is all over at the Federal Pavilion?
Yeah, it's really kind of an exciting year, kind of a hallmark year for us at the Federal Pavilion. We are a group of 17 federal agencies this year. And we come together every year and operate the Federal Pavilion here at Oshkosh. Our mission basically is education when we come to Oshkosh. And each agency has something to offer the general aviation community and definitely the public at large. We, for example, operate the airspace here in the state of Wisconsin, but the Air Guard operates about 75% of the airspace, special use airspace in the nation. So the whole mission of the Federal Pavilion is really, you know, one of education. Now, we do have some great things out there as well, some great aircraft on display. For example, you may have seen the Predator flew in last week.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to that I live here in town, so I made a point of coming out and watch it arrive. And from what I understand, it's the first time that a unmanned aerial vehicle has landed at a normal civilian airport.
You're absolutely right. It was really a hallmark event. A lot of coordination went into that between the Customs and Border Protection folks who actually own that aircraft and the Federal Aviation Administration, of course, EAA, and the folks here at the Whitman Field. Everyone played a little role in that. And you're absolutely right. It's the first time that something like that happened. And it's really kind of, another first that happened here at Oshkosh. And we're very proud of our agency brothers that were able to make that happen.
Now, when they flew that in here, they had a special trailer out here, and the pilot was sitting out in the trailer and came in and he landed it. Is that trailer still out here, do you know? Is that out in the Federal Pavilion?
It is indeed, yeah. As a matter of fact, they did pop a door open, so you can't necessarily go on a tour of it, but you can kind of poke your head in there and see what it's like for the ground operator, for the ground pilot, for the ground sensor operator, the conditions that they work in that trailer. So absolutely, it's still there, parked right next to the Predator.
Oh, that'd be another very interesting thing that people could come over and see. Now, you also said the TSA are there. I think that, why are the TSA, here at Oshkosh?
Sure. Great question. And that's, we all deal with TSA, if we fly commercially, obviously, and kind of part of their mission is they also have federal air marshals there, but it gives folks a chance to kind of ask the questions that they might feel uncomfortable asking as they pass through an airport security section. Why can't I take liquids on, for example? Why so little liquids? Why do I got to take my shoes off? So on and so forth. Those inconveniences that we might all experience as we travel commercially. And it gives a good reason as to why the agency is there. Weather Service, obviously, Park Service. We have the SARSAT folks are there. And kind of a new agency this year is our National Geodetic Survey folks, NGS.
What is the NGS?
What do they do? Yeah, great question. First year that they're with the Pavilion, they basically, if you look at an aeronautical chart, there's some of the guys that actually pinpoint exactly where things are on the Earth's surface. A perfect example of that is basically right behind us here at the station, and that is the Brown Arch. If you go to the Brown Arch, you'll see that there's a monument there, kind of a raised monument about 3 feet high or so. They actually sighted that precisely where it's at, so they can give you the exact lat long down to, I guess, probably the hundredth of a second at least, of exactly where that thing is.
And so they're just going out and they find all the obstacles and then put it on the charts so that the pilots can miss them.
Exactly right. They do that. They chart airfields as well, so you know exactly where the four corners of your airfield are, for example. So, which again, where you are and where you have to get to, two important things.
It's very interesting. All sorts of interesting things that are out there. I also hear that we have some foreign governments who come in.
We do. We, again, International Federal Partnership, so we have several agencies there, one from the Bahamas, obviously another off our soil, about 90 miles, and general aviation folks easily hop over there from Florida, obviously, and there's a lot of questions. How do I get into the Bahamas? What do I have to fill out? How do I get out of the Bahamas and back into the U.S.? So there's a lot of questions there people might have, and that fear of flying, unfortunately, exists, and part of our mission is to educate the public that it's really not that big deal. You can do it. We have the Bahama folks there. We have the Customs and Border Patrol folks there. So hopefully the general aviator, if he's thinking about flying, you know, to Bahamas, for example, can get those questions answered. And again, a very non-threatened environment, very low pressure, and there is no such thing as a stupid question.
Right. Or maybe you might encourage somebody that wouldn't have thought about going to the Bahamas. Hey, I can do this. I can take my airplane over there. But what would I need? Special equipment and, you know, for obviously flight over water, there, you know, special precautions.
Exactly right. You know, and that's, again, where the SARSAT folks, you know, play a role in there as well. They're also in our building. Then to the north, you know, our, the largest border we have, of course, is with the great nation of Canada. We have three of their agency there to include the Canada Border Services. Again, similar questions. What do I need to cross into Canada? What do I need to get out of Canada?
Customs and all those things.
Exactly. Just those simple, you know, all the minutiae of getting in and out of a foreign nation.
Right. And, you know, I've done limited trips in and out of Canada on a general aviation basis. And, you know, people might expect it to be difficult, but it's actually very easy with all the systems they have set up. And sometimes you don't even have to actually visit anybody. No one actually comes out to your airplane if you can do it set up ahead of time. And, you know, but you call a phone number and they tell you exactly what you need to do.
Exactly. And those are some of the questions, some of the issues that we're hoping that we can provide to the general public, to the general aviator in particular, and kind of encourage some of that cross-border commerce, if you will, as well.
Excellent. Is there anybody else in the federal pavilion?
Well, we're kind of talking about Canada, so why don't we just stay right there for now. One of the very unique displays we have on there is the 100th anniversary of flight for the nation of Canada this year. And visitors, once they enter the pavilion, they'll see the Silver Dart aircraft there, which if you look at it, it looks, it's kind of their equivalent to the Wright Flyer, if you will. And so 100 years ago in February of 1909 is when the first powered flight took place in Canada, and the Silver Dart is a replica of that aircraft. So that's kind of a neat display here.
Wow, that's very interesting. Now, was that a Canadian-built airplane then, or?
It was indeed, yeah. This is a flyable model, if you will. It did not fly here. It was trucked down here just because of the, you know, it's a very fragile beast, as you can imagine.
Right. Most airplanes from that age were.
Indeed. But it's quite an opportunity to kind of see it's built as they would have built it back then. So there's no, you know, modern, you know, fasteners, anything like that necessarily used. It's a reproduction engine. So it's the same engine that would have been on there. And again, it is a flyable aircraft.
Wonderful. Have they? Are they going to fly that out here at all? Or
not to my knowledge. No. About the what we're hoping to do actually is get a photo opportunity, at least if you will, kind of at the end of the show between the Wright Flyer B model and the Silver Dart.
Oh, well, so, that'll be a, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity. That's this the great thing about Oshkosh
exactly.
Is it brings in so many different caveats, and you see so many different things flying together that you would never see anywhere else in the world.
Exactly right. You know, and some other things too. You know, again, Oshkosh is all about history of aviation and whatnot. We have kind of two historical aircraft also outside the pavilion. Those are helicopters. We have the UH-1 Huey that people are very familiar with. That is parked on the south side, southeast side of our building. But then we also have the UH-72 Lakota, which is a brand new Army helicopter, new to the inventory. It's going to be eventually replacing the Blackhawks and the Hueys. Hueys are becoming, as your listeners probably know, rarer and rarer in flight. So,
well, they're a very old aircraft. I mean, from the Vietnam era.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's older than I am, as a lot of the airplanes out here qualify for that.
Yeah. So if you look at our one little acre here at EAA, if we will, we have, you know, the Silver Dart, which, you know, is a replica from 100 years ago. And then you have the Predator, which is, you know, brand new, the Lakota brand new. And then in between, we have a few other aircraft on display as well. So
now some of those helicopters, can people actually get in them and sit in them?
Absolutely. Yeah. The helicopters, the UH-1, the UH-72 are open. And we encourage folks to come on down and, you know, sit in the cockpit and kind of see what it's like to be in a helicopter.
And you have people there who are going to make sure they don't start it up and accidentally take off with their kids or something.
Totally safe environment, you bet. Do you have air crew on hand that can answer all kinds of questions for you about capabilities, what it's like to fly, what it takes to become a military pilot, so on and so forth. So we also have Fish and Wildlife is there with their new Quest aircraft. It's not on floats this year. Last one they had one that was on floats. This one's just on the wheels, but it's going to be outfitted with floats after the show. But they use that for waterfowl surveys, so counting ducks, counting geese.
Ducks. So, and why is that important?
Well, it's basically a health of the environment, if you will. So if anyone out there is a duck hunter, I know Ducks Unlimited come here. If anyone's interested in, you know, the quality of wildlife, those are the kind of things you need to know.
Are they tracking those ducks so that we don't run into them with our aircraft then also?
they certainly map out the migratory routes, you bet. So they'll help you avoid them.
Well, that'd be good. I think Captain Sully could have checked into that a little bit ahead of time.
But yeah, we encourage folks to come on down, look at the aircraft, talk to the folks in the agency. We also have a forum stage. We have a great lineup of forums, everything from canine dogs there for the Customs and Border guys to special use airspace to, you heard Mr. Gazzetti talk about some of his things he'll be talking about, not only FAA, but also on our forum stage.
Excellent. And where is the pavilion located?
We are in the home-built area, right on kind of the flight line row, if you will. And we are right by the rest of the forums, by the Honda forums, and just on the way to the Warbirds.
All right. Well, we've been talking with Major Dave Tesmer. I'm Wireless Mike, and you're listening to EAA Radio here in Oshkosh.